You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Seattle. Salt Seattle.
We're trying to get through this under the Dome of Stakes, and we didn't get very far.
Oh, you should have kept Salt Seattle.
I said Nick Lago from Hawaii. Oh, I mean Los Angeles.
Y'all bitch. Oh my gosh.
Let's just come up with fictitious locations now.
I think where we want to be. It's we're getting that senioritis holiday break coming up thing. I think so.
I know. God dang.
So I love it when graphic design makes the news. Last year we had the Starbucks cups. And this year, McDonald's wanted to get in on the controversy. I don't know if you guys, I forwarded a little article to
everybody
you guys.
Needs to watch this. Every designer or anybody that works with brand identity needs to watch this.
Yes. So basically on the new McDonald's Christmas cups, it's got, it's like a red cup with a pair of, do you have it?
No,
you've got the Starbucks cup.
I don't drink McDonald's coffee.
It's actually not that terrible, surprisingly.
I heard.
It's McCafe, Nick.
I know.
It's a red cup with white mittens that are kind of put together in such a way that people found out that if you draw little fingers on either side.
On the thumbs, right?
Yes.
It was on the thumb part, yeah.
It pretty much just looks like someone spreading his ass cheeks apart.
Yeah. Or hers.
Yeah.
We're all
could be either way.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of
McDonald McCafe went TNA this year.
Exactly. Oh, we did that. No, but Twitter, there's some funny comments on Twitter about
hilarious.
It. Yeah. The designer's going to be fired for that one for sure. So anyone who hasn't seen that, I highly recommend taking a gander's at it yourself. Just type
maybe
in McDonald's Christmas cups.
They'll be collector's items. Yep.
Yeah. One little Google search and you'll find it. There's a funny New York Times video just kind of showing exactly what we mean. But other than that, what's going on in your world, guys?
Trying to wrap it up, man. I keep thinking I'm going to have a week off here sooner or later. But like, man, things have been good. School's done. But then I went into full FreshBooks estimate crazy mode the last week. So I've been pushing out a lot of good stuff. So I'm really hoping for some good new business to kind of come through on a few of these prospects, and things are great. How about you guys, man? Getting ready to shut down for a while?
I mean, not shut down.
I'm in the midst of the, can we complete this by the new year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm head first into one really big project and, got a few other things kind of in the beginning stages as well. So yeah, it's, I don't think there's going to be any slowing down this holiday season.
No, it's busy. I mean, I always laugh in a little bit of an angry way on the other end of email requests like this, because you're just going, oh, sure. No, I don't need to celebrate Christmas. No, it's fine. I don't have a family at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like it's your birthday, Mikkel. It's baby Jesus.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. Let me work nights to make that happen for you.
But you know what I'm finding, though, is as ambitious as clients are, there is that 2 or 3 days, a week or two before Christmas, where reality sinks in for everybody. And I've noticed now all of a sudden it's like, let's just wait till January 1. So people get to realize that nothing's really going to happen that week. And so I'm just getting ready to take advantage of it when that green light goes on. I think that's or the red light comes on, I should say, because it is. Yeah, it's been nonstop. And I think just having, I guess we got to be a little more accustomed to when our time off's going to be. Can't really plan it right now, you know?
Sure. Yeah, everybody goes into full-blown slacker mode around this time of year. It's just like, it's nothing but office Christmas parties and all that kind of stuff. So nice. Yeah. It's a nice time to take a little bit of a break, you know?
Yeah. Did either of you guys do a Christmas card for clients and stuff?
I did not this year, no.
Yeah. I dropped the ball this year.
I have some good For most, I suppose I have friendship in addition to the work relationship. So I just lump sum what I would send out for to family and friends, and I add some client recipients in the mix.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it, you want to be, it's like you're treating them more like friends and family than clients at that point.
Yeah. That's not really the intent. I just don't want to spend the extra money.
I know. Yeah, I know. I always remember I make a point on like Halloween to say, start thinking about a card, and I totally dropped it this year. One thing I did
typically do separate.
Oh yeah. I make a holiday card, business oriented, and just didn't get around to it this year. The one thing I did and I did this quite in advance, but for a few clients that we did really amazing branding for, and a series of logos, we made enamel pens of their new logos.
Cool.
And sent them 100. And man,
that's a great idea.
Cool idea, because they're posting them everywhere. So like, it's good shout out. It's good. You know, they're saying our
partners. And they can share it with everybody internally. Yeah.
And they get to give it encourage them, give it as a gift give it to customers, whatever it is. And they're just, I wanted to just try them. I see everyone's making these damn things, and I found a vendor, and we had a great price and everything. But good. Just a cool little shout out to do for them, as a neat little gift.
That's a good idea. Holidays.
It's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
And especially for a logo client, just give them their new logo on branding items like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
And for a really good client, I guess you just give them a customized McDonald's coffee cup.
Yeah.
With a full on ass of it.
Exactly.
With a full on ass of it. Why would you not play it a little risque?
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Just to make them feel like part of the family,
There you go. Yeah.
But who else is going to make you feel part of the family? And that's VideoBlox. VideoBlox is an affordable subscription-based stock media site, and you get unlimited access to premium stock footage. And they also have a sister site called AudioBlox, where it's kind of the same idea, unlimited access to premium stock audio. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there. And it's great value with the unlimited download model. Unlimited daily downloads. They've got over 115,000 video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and more. Mm-hmm. And AudioBlox has even more than that, music tracks, sound effects, loops, all that kind of good stuff. If you're doing YouTube videos for clients and you want some of that, commercial free or, unrestricted licensing.
Yeah.
Background music for that. It's perfect. And so they've got a great variety of time-lapse aerials, U.S. international locations, which is huge to really show localities. If you're doing videos, that's fantastic. And they're always adding new stuff to the library so it stays fresh. And again, it's unrestricted licensing, so you'll never get sued for using anything even after your subscription is over. It's great. Who wants to be sued?
I know.
That's my New Year's resolution for 2017.
I always wonder about the
lawsuits.
Team members or the one ho-hum individual that goes around and audits to ensure that nobody is.
That would suck.
Yeah. Who has that job?
Someone who's, I'm sure, really fun at Christmas parties.
Yeah, and tells some great stories.
Exactly.
I sat down with a new client and showed them the VideoBlox website as a nice arm to everything we're doing for them. I don't want to mark it up and make anything from this. We're already doing tons of work for them, but it was such a good reassurance to show them the site and what's available to use in their store and on video walls and unique things. So, and the music was a whole other point too, to point out as well. So I think it just enhances you as a designer by showing them that you can bring this on and you know of it,
Yeah.
It's totally cheap for a big business. So,
yeah,
good stuff.
Absolutely. And sorry, are you guys getting any like hammering in the background? The construction's still going on in my building.
No, that's good. I don't hear anything.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. So anyway, VideoBlox is offering our listeners a year's subscription to both VideoBlox and AudioBlox, and it's only $149 for the year for access to like so many free included things. That's amazing. So it's $100 off the usual price tag for our listeners only. So get video and audio files for any project you may be working on or have planned for the future. Just go to videoblox.com/deep2016. That's videoblox.com/deep2016 for the discount. All right, cool. So since we're coming up to 2017, what better way to end the year than to kind of do some predictions for what's coming into, we get out our designer crystal ball here, and we're planning on this being a two-parter. So this week we're going to talk about graphic design trends for 2017. We're going to talk pretty much everything that can be used for any type of graphic design, including web possibly. And Nick also has some kind of more business trends, which is good for the freelancers of us. And then next week, we're going to plan on talking about more specific web design trends. And that's where I'm excited about that one more so than this one. But this one will be fun too. It's always good to see what's been happening, what we can expect to see more of, all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And let me know if that sound becomes a problem.
That we hear.
We can hear that.
You hear. All right. So I'm going to mute myself. So Nick, or Mikkel, do you guys want to go first?
Mikkel,
sure.
You want to go?
All right.
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay, so the first one that I've got is use of negative space. And it's that whole less is more approach that continues to be a trend year after year, it seems. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't have to be just white padding, like a lot of vacancy with respect to white necessarily. You can do this with blocks of color as well to really beautify. And I oftentimes love to experiment with negative space by making typefaces small and really character spaced out and utilize all caps styling to really make it a clean, polished approach while utilizing big regions of color or white areas simultaneously. So there's a lot of really elegant ways to approach this. I just mainly wanted to point out with this for negative space, particularly, that it does not mean you can't get away with really bold color tones. That can also be utilized as some really beautiful negative space.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be just white. And it's
not gradient or shadowing or subtle textures in there. It's just straight up flat toning.
Mm-hmm. I noticed too when I was pulling a bunch of stuff from for a mood board, and the look was in that minimal, classy, sophisticated look without being too crazy in scripts and all that. Yeah. 90% of the things I found were just kind of what you explained, where it's kind of like all caps spread out and then flush.
Sometimes it's bold facing, sometimes it's thin, but it can be accomplished so clean when it's overlaying just blocks of solid fill.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And I think one point would be, if you want to pursue this with a client, what I found is when you just show it to them blank, they're going to be like, oh no, we that's way too empty and whatever. Show them examples
within a whole layout schematic. Yes.
Or show them other research and stuff you have found by Google search and whatever, and showing them, isn't this the look you want?
To legitimize the modern.
Because you have to show them that. Otherwise they want to just fill in. They're like, wait, we have all that space. Do you need 18 blocks of
cops? They won't know unless they're given the proof. Right.
Yeah. So you got to show them a few examples.
Yeah.
And then they'll get it. Cause then they'll be like, yeah, that's, and everyone wants, you know, how many times does the client say?
Or examples of some pretty reputable brands that utilize these trends.
Just don't
use it. Is really helpful too.
Don't use Apple because they're too minimal and they are the only people that get away with that packaging.
I used to. I'm so done. I can't do it anymore. Apple as a reference guide. I'm so done with it.
And every client asks that. So you just got to say, show them the other stuff. There's a million examples out there to show how you can just as classy and
startup and large organization wise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see it on web. I see it everywhere. It's a trend that's like, it's on billboards now. I've seen billboards where it's like 90% of it is a solid color. And you're like,
right. And, wow, and wouldn't you say oftentimes it's just the one hashtag sitting on a big ass block of color?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. It's really effective. I think
driving
it's gorgeous.
The point yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Hashtags what the kids like. Got it. So just to fill you guys in, I'm going to be like, I may have to be silent for a bit. Like this noise is really obnoxious.
Should we do ours and then maybe save yours for the end?
Possibly.
There?
I mean, it seems to have quieted down now, but like I can chime in every now and then, but
perfect.
Yeah.
Do you want to go next, Wes, while it's a little bit quiet?
Take advantage.
if I can get this one out real quick. Okay, so okay. The first one I have is material design. So I started hearing about this a couple years ago, but I feel like it's really finding its way into other things other than just web at this point. Mm-hmm. So you guys know material design, right? For anyone who doesn't, it's basically just, it's really because before this, we saw a lot of flat design. No, mm-hmm. no texture, no shading, nothing, just solid colors on solid colors. Well, Google came out with material design a couple years ago as a way to really streamline Android, the kind of the style guide, the look for Android products, where we started seeing it's basically flat design with very subtle use of shading, texture sometimes. And it was really interesting to see how they kind of came up with this. Google literally, like, they started cutting things out of paper.
I saw that.
And they would layer it on top to see how shadows worked around it, like how it would look. Nothing, they're not working with any kind of 3D shapes. It's all flat, mm-hmm. but it's like flat on flat. So that you get a little bit of that kind of 2D shadow coming off of it.
And I think their whole idea was that it's showing depth, especially like you say, where there's an overlap and an overlay. And it's all in UI, right? It's kind of helping you guide you through a navigation.
Right.
In a way. Yeah.
And I think they were just sick of the whole flat was just getting too flat. And they wanted to come up with some over-encompassing visual strategy they could use for all their products. And the idea was that other third-party developers could use the same look with their apps. So it would kind of very easily streamline in. And now we're starting to see that in a lot of print material too. Like I've started seeing a lot of stuff that does look like it's been cut out of paper. Like that, where it's still got that flat look, but with a little bit of texture and a little bit of shadow, just for a little bit more visual interest than if it were flat. Mm-hmm. So I think
it's like a nice evolution of that flat, because we all commented on it and realized it lacks so much. It lacks the depth in it, and mm-hmm. this is a neat way of bringing it back without
the
going
subtlety to this approach. Mm-hmm. Though is pretty key.
I mean, have you done it? Have you used it in anything?
I have.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, and I think I did without knowing it. You know, I think I never really had a word for it, but I've always kind of gravitated toward really subtle gradients mm-hmm. in almost everything. I just think it. I don't know. I've never been super keen on the flat colors.
Well, even too, have you noticed too in a lot of scripted or any logo type that has an overlap. I think what a lot of people are doing now is putting a bit of a drop shadow where lines would just usually cross. Now they just have a little hint of a drop shadow, and all of a sudden that thing looks multidimensional, and it's the logo. It kind of goes off of everything you were saying about the material design trend for sure. And it's work. I think it's creeping into every little area now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think what we might be seeing even more of coming up is it becoming a little less flat even than it is now. I'm thinking of what am I trying to say? Like literally made out of paper.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing that kind of trend evolve.
It's more texture based from a true organic craft perspective.
Right. Like there's, I follow someone on Instagram. I can't remember the name, but she sells her artwork on Etsy, and it's basically, it's paper. It's cutout paper art. Mm-hmm. While that sounds like a kindergarten project, like it's really well done, and it's got a really cool look, and I can really see that becoming the next evolution of this material design. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very neat.
You heard it here first, folks.
I have it on my list. Yeah.
All right, Nick, what do you got for us?
So my first one, again, like Wes said earlier, I'm taking a little spin here and wanted to look at what our industry of freelancing and particularly working solo, are there trends and things that people are forecasting for next year? And in doing a lot of that research, I was so pleased to find that three really cool things, and all of them are very beneficial to us. And I think we need to hear and understand and know, because things are changing for us and in a good way. And the first one is this whole idea that freelancing is no longer considered a subculture. And that's so smart now, because I was so glad to hear that. And I think as we all do our work, we kind of don't realize how big this animal of freelancing and working solo and starting our own things is really becoming. And we get that question so many times about when and how and who should you do it. Here's some great insight on it. This is the coolest thing I heard, is that freelancing now is 35% of the workforce in US, which is pretty remarkable. And freelancing is so becoming mainstream now. It's not this movement anymore. It's now considered standard. And I think we all can feel this, but you got to understand that it's growing so rapidly that we're getting more recognition. And I think it's people are going to have to kind of listen now to what this big group is saying and doing and what they need in as far as insurance rates and perks and things like that, especially at tax time. So we're going to begin to see, I think, a little bit more of that recognition, not just from peers, but even from politicians and society, because we're growing and that has to be adaptable. Things have to change for them. One of the things I thought was interesting was they're going to have to start listening to us and acknowledge that our needs are moving forward too, right? Hopefully this will include all those better options. And specifically, I don't know about you guys, but like with healthcare and other things that we are having to deal with and the rates and what's happening, if we are a bigger group, hopefully things will change for that. And so I really want to be think positive on that. As we grow, it's obviously going to happen. The other thing is kind of interesting too, is it's not that freelancers are up there shouting on the rooftops, like, look at us, be like us, you know, this is the best way. But what we're doing now is there's years of us simply just working and living our lives genuinely as full-time employees. And others are seeing this and wanting to pursue it. I don't know about you guys, but I get asked all the time, like, man, I'm really seriously thinking about, you know, going out on my own. And this is in any industry.
Right, so not just creative, yeah.
Seeing that there's so many good examples out there, mm-hmm. It's such a great thing. And it's not that, like I said, we're out there kind of shouting it. We're just doing. And that's enough for people to see and understand, wow, maybe that's something I want to pursue and look at.
As its own community, yes.
Exactly. And the last point on this one is that the U.S. freelance workforce, you know how much they estimated they made in freelancing last year?
I bet it's so astounding.
$1 trillion. In freelancing. Well, and that's up from 700.
And if they say that really means probably 3 trillion.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know. They don't want to make it too good.
that's so true.
But that's up from 700 billion. So what a huge increase in the last year or two. So I was kind of stunned at some of these numbers, because we are in our own little bubble and we love what we do. And hopefully we're keeping up with things and being successful. But thinking about what the whole business has done in general is so nice to hear. So definitely we are no longer in that subculture, moving on to more of a standard and more of a movement. And so I couldn't be happier with that.
We're not mole people anymore living in the sewers.
Oh, exactly. Starving artists with, you know.
All the hipsters listening are very upset by this. They thought they were the only ones.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Y'all better get a job now if you want to be part of the
pour another over, you know, pour over coffee and you know, think about it.
Right. All right, Michelli, what do you got?
Nick, that was a good one. my next is use of hand and or script written typefacing and the pairings of typography as a whole, mm-hmm. with the hand script written font types. So one of the reasons I wanted to take on this trend is because you're seeing it so much with the holiday cards, right?
Yeah.
Any holiday decor, in fact, I'm seeing it when I browse through the West Elm or Pottery Barn catalogs, even for wall decor.
Those bastards.
No, even for mugs and tapestries and stuff, it's really interesting. So hopefully I do an okay job explaining this. A really good example of this is when you've got, say, a beautiful serif font in all caps, right? And it's spaced mm-hmm. out. And then in the middle, you've got an article phrasing like and or for or with that is sort of slanted in a script like sexy mm-hmm. romantic font mm-hmm. to balance out a little bit of masculinity with the all caps type-facing, and then bring upon some a feminine design approach alongside with it. This can be so beautifully done. I think I had in mind to utilize this for our family holiday greeting card this season, and it just ended up not working out with the space, but this can be so beautifully done. And in fact, this is oftentimes brought to the next level with watercolor fonts now that you see a whole lot.
Yeah.
They're being paired. They're being paired with sans serif and serif fonts for that. But it has to be really carefully done because otherwise this can look chaotic.
Yeah. It has to be readable, especially when you get into that.
And it has to be legible.
That watercolor.
So there's no wonder there's a balance with the pairing between the two. Yeah. And oftentimes with these script fonts, a lot of them, I mean, if you go to Google Fonts and you start browsing their selection, their collection selection, you start seeing that there's a lot of script handwritten font types that really are masculine too. It's not to be assumed that all these are whimsical and playful in a more of a feminine approach. There's like one that I'm thinking of right now called Rock Salt, and then another called Permanent Marker that are really cool, actually. And they're more massive. Do you? Yeah, I've been working with some of those too. Or playing with them. They're not maybe necessarily approved and brought to the next level, but they're considered for sure.
Yeah. Have you guys been using a Typekit at all in the Adobe Creative Suite?
No, I haven't been.
You know, it's all free. Like,
yeah, I've heard
literally
this.
You're paying for it already with your subscription.
With the cloud subscription.
I totally.
But how do you do that with clients? Like, aren't all your client sites then using your subscription at that point?
No, I mean, like, in most of the cases,
for
I'm using it. For comping, and for logo design and things like that. When it comes, and that's really where I'm using it the most, because I have my fonts that I use specifically for, let's say, body copy and being that I don't have to do much on the web, that I don't live there with a lot of our designs. So I've been using it religiously, and it's insane. You just click on it in the assets in the Adobe Creative Cloud thing in your toolbar, and it brings you to a site. And the beautiful thing about it is you can basically narrow it down. You say, I need decorative, narrow, and I want thick and thin, or I want uniline. And it gives you, it breaks it down, and then you hit sync. Boom, they're in your library, and you go right to your AI or your Photoshop, and you've got the fonts ready to go and use.
Oh, cool.
So one of those things, until Adobe Max, man, I had no clue what that was even about. I thought it was, they want you to buy, and I'd say 10 to 15% on there are purchasable, but 90% of what's in there is part of your plan, and you already have them. Basically, you own them. So
I may need to follow up with you again about the accessibility of this stuff.
It's really great.
That's so cool to absolutely not miss out on and take advantage of.
Specifically on scripts, because you were saying scripts have to have this personality, and we have so many to choose from. So when you do need one a little more masculine, and you put in your, let's say you know the name that you need to type in that word, you put it in there and you get a preview.
I specifically mentioned Google Web Fonts because, Wes and I do so much web design, so it has to be compatible for live HTML purposes.
I gotcha.
But absolutely.
But if it's just art and maybe it's something
you've just
edited,
art and you're working with,
give it a shot.
I think we need to do a whole episode coming up, like just kind of devoted to fonts.
Typography.
Interesting, like tips and tricks.
I agree.
For fonts,
that'd be cool.
I got a few.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Oh, is it me?
Yes.
Am I up? Okay, cool. So the next one I have is, I'm calling it Type as Hero. So basically I've been noticing a lot, and this is kind of what you guys were talking about, where you're seeing a billboard that's mostly just a solid color with one big phrase on it. But what I'm talking about is where the text is really big, like just oversized, makes a statement. Sometimes it's overlaid over an image, sometimes it's not. But the whole idea is just that it's there, it's in your face, it's huge. And I'm seeing it, you're seeing it more on websites now. You're also seeing it like on posters, billboards.
Even packaging.
Like you say.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Seeing it a lot. The Whole Foods packaging zone.
Yep.
It's all over there.
And one cool variant too I saw, and I've noticed this kind of also applies to logo, like really simple logos. Like I saw Nike God, what was it? It was some kind of Nike collateral. I don't know if it was internal or if it was a catalog or what, but it basically just the Nike swoosh was like the entire cover, like over an image. I've just seen a lot of this lately.
I think it's direct and to the point. I mean, how many times do you like, you're like, you have so many things competing on a cover or something for a particular, like a billboard for attention. And I think what people are realizing is just say the frickin' word, you know, and maybe take it to a degree of having, like you said, fill it with something or whatever, but God, it's like, it gets to the point. It's as simple as, and then sometimes that requires just even better, clever copywriting because of maybe it's a headline or maybe it's something really marketing savvy, but yeah, I'm seeing that everywhere. I mean,
and this really works if it's a really succinct headline. It does not work if you have a whole sentence.
No, you know what I mean? Exactly.
Like it has to be like two words or something.
If you look at McDonald's every day,
really simplistic.
Look at McDonald's everyday packaging, their bags, their cups and everything. It's exactly that. It is huge blocks. Yeah. And then it stacks.
Those
too.
Mittens were huge.
I know.
On the cup.
But look at their everyday, their everyday stuff. I think it was just recently designed. I'm sure we can find something even there looking at the text ones.
I hope that all listeners that are working and listening to this episode hit pause to go check it out.
Please do.
Yeah. Please watch it at work and bring your boss over. And
Look at this.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to bring up, like, instead of paying attention to sexual harassment training, they make you go through just watch this, make everyone watch it with you. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. Hashtag fired. I was in tears a little bit.
It's all definitely worth getting fired over, I would say. Then you can join us in being freelancers and solopreneurs. There you go.
Because it's all good.
Who needs McVay?
But that's kind of all I had to say about the big type. It's not like an exciting trend. It's just something I've been seeing a lot of, and I think we're going to continue.
Yeah, manifesto. Big. Go big.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Or go
all right. My next one. The potential continues to grow for freelancers and their earnings, which I think is just equals to the point that we get to control how good, how much, how little we are working on. And with us being in control a little bit more than a typical salary, the potential there kind of leans towards you being able to be unlimited with what you do. This was a funny fact, and I don't know if I totally agree with it or it didn't happen with me, and you guys tell me, but the majority of freelancers who left a full-time job, and keep in mind, this is all industries, not just our world. They found that they made more in freelancing in their first year than they did with their last employee salary. I can't say that.
Well, here's the caveat to that. I think it's misleading because you feel like you're making more, but then you got to pay a shit ton in taxes at the end of the year. So
true.
Yeah.
And there's quality of life, and there's all those other things that add up to how fulfilled you are and everything. But the point is that in most cases, people are making the same, if not more, than what they left. In my situation, it took a lot longer than it took at least 2 to 3 years before we were talking anything close to where we were when I was full time. But it's good incentive, right? People are gaining experience and they see how valuable their skills are. So we are now as these freelancers realizing that, and how many times have we talked about us being more than just a designer to the clients? We are finding these bundles of valuable skills and we're putting them together and we're more confident with our rates. So as we get more in demand, as we bring in more value and we can say, hey, I can also do the copywriting. I can also shoot a photography for you, whatever it is, we're more valuable and our rates go up. And clients are finally realizing that this platform of freelancing is not just to hire cheap work. I think when you think about in the past, I know when I was at a full-time gig and we hired freelancers, it was truly because we were just had our budgets were what just out of whack. And we were like,
independent practice don't have the overhead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that you got to let you, when you had to lay off someone and a team, and then you bring in a team of freelancers and you're like, we're doing it because it's cheap. It's not, that's
don't
not the
you
way.
I think what speaks volumes about this very trend that you're speaking of right now, Nick, is LinkedIn Profinder.
I guess so.
That would not exist if it were not this.
No,
what,
not
what
at all.
What is that, Mikkel? I don't know that.
It is when you enable your LinkedIn profile to be accessible for those within your immediate general location, greater mm-hmm. Seattle area for me, that is, to make requests from business owners like me to prepare a proposal bid for the work that they're seeking.
It's a great network of kind of finding work, people connecting a business with a guru or a specialist in a way. And you're right, because the whole point of this is being a specialist and not just a hired hand for 3 days.
No,
we want
right.
longer term. We want partnership.
Yeah, oftentimes these requests are ongoing, which is more money in our state stability for us, which is, you know, definitely more encouraging. But also, haven't you found with this trend, the client and or, you know, potential client, maybe you haven't caught the gig yet, they want that undivided handholding attention.
Yes.
Anyway, you don't get that with a creative agency as much.
You're right.
They want to work one-on-one with you.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. And I think, let's look at it. If it's been on the uprise for the last 10 years and people are actually finding the benefit of it, all of a sudden, this, like we said, it becomes more the normal. We hire freelancers.
I know.
And also, too, how many times have we talked, too, like freelancing is maybe the when we talk about being consultant, that sounds so much better. So
no,
are we
stand the word freelance?
I know. Are we upgrading? I think we're upgrading there, too.
Even where those that I know that respect me so much saying, oh, are you still freelancing?
I know. And I try not to use it in any way. And I'm particular
about it, too.
I've revamped everything to not be that. And now that we, you know, we have two people kind of full time in a way, it feels like we're a company, but we're still off and running and young. So the coolest thing what this is also with this whole idea of how our potential grows, where we're learning too is we're more profitable to business agencies and business owners because we have a network and we can tap into. Look at this. We're a podcast where there's many of them out there in this world. There are social media. There are forums where people can collaborate. And I can ask you, how do you bill? How do you plan your day? What's your discovery zone like? We can work and learn from each other. And all of a sudden, businesses profit from that value because we're getting insight from – we want to share. And what other area – that's not happening really anywhere else. If you're a full-time gig, you're clocking in, clocking out. You're not going on places to kind of talk about, you know, what you learned and what advantage you can help with other people. So we are a network, and that is helping us look really great. And the last point on this one is startups. Startups want to go to freelancers, and they have to in some ways. They can't afford to have the full-time people on there. So they're hiring these experienced and diverse freelancers, and it's allowing them to try different things quickly and efficiently. So we can charge and be valued even greater by them because they need you more. They have no other alternative sometimes than to go to a specialist. And that's your chance to build something really great with them. So hopefully, I think this shows that your value and the potential to grow in here is obviously 100% up to you, but there are great ways to take advantage of it and really be better each year. So I'm so happy to hear that as well. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's good to know.
This is so great. I love how this episode is going because typically with the trend episodes, we don't have this perspective. I want this to always be the case ongoing for these trend episodes. I think it's great.
Yeah. I know it's hard because I was thirsty for this. When it comes to trends and stuff, it's like, I think we all look at that on a daily basis and
it's a part of the discovery phase before you hit the canvas board. Yeah.
The influence. But, you know, we're trying to find out new and interesting things about what we do and how we do it. So there was tons of information out there. I can't believe how many studies were done last year to tell us how good 2017 is going to be for our industry. So
cool.
It's being done.
Well, don't spill them all out this episode. Nope. Keep some in your pocket.
Yeah. Put them on a slow drip throughout the year.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Kel, what do you got?
My next one is I made up the term. Hopefully everybody knows what this means.
Wait, so you're creating this trend right now. What is it?
You're such a trendsetter.
I've been saying it so much. I didn't read it about Paul it. Gardner, I just come
trend.
Across it a lot. And I absolutely know that I've incorporated this to my concepts myself. I call it stair-stepping layout. And whenever I explain this term to clientele, I know they know what I'm speaking of. So it's the only way that I can really like indicate the visual. You see this a lot both on websites, homepage, landing pages, of course. Not only that, but you start seeing a lot of it with email campaign design layouts. And so I'm going to get a little, I'm going to sound like a total chick when I start to call out these examples, but just bear with me. So J. Crew, Lululemon, and Banana Republic do this very well and all the time with their email campaigns. And what it is it's basically, it almost looks layer-esque. You've got block of text to the right or left, and then you've got the imagery right or left. And it's not flooding anything. It's floating in space. Mm-hmm. The imagery is, that is. And so sometimes there's a little bit of overlap with the text over a light polished color fill that's over the imagery. And then it just stair steps and for balancing down the page. Mm-hmm. As the user scrolls. Does it make sense how I just explained that?
Yeah, it's kind of forcing the eye to...
So to not just down. Read like a newspaper, to just toggle back and forth in a balanced fashion.
Oh, okay.
Text block imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it doesn't go in a row necessarily, like just... perpendicular, like symmetrically all the way down. It's kind of scattered and then scattered. So maybe there's a better way of explaining this when in my mind what's stair-stepping. Maybe it's more of a...
It's all block related, right? So it's kind of like picture, copy block, picture. Is that what you're saying?
And it's staggered consistently throughout.
A little random, right?
It is somewhat randomized, but mm-hmm. it's organized at the same time.
Yes.
And I really love this and this is why it's worked so well with email templates, is because oftentimes there's a bit of content and you're scrolling down and down and down mm-hmm. and down the page, and you've mm-hmm. got I think it's 568 now, but 600 width max to work with, mm-hmm. 600 pixels. That's not much. So it's a way to just kind of in a skinny manner, display your content.
I just kind of sketched out an idea. I'm building some case studies on my website. I think that was the one thing the last thing on my to-do list for this year of like things I have to do for myself. And I kind of took that same approach and I found a really cool photo gallery setting that works. And man, it's such a nice storytelling thing as it goes down, and you get to put little copy blocks of like what I did was I put the challenge and then there's a few sketches. Pictures really block nicely, and then it says result and then quote from a client. So it's like a nice little staggered thing, like you just like you mentioned.
Yeah, staggered,
I didn't even know I was on trend.
Better. Yeah, totally. It's in
according
it's
to Mikkel. I'm so on trend.
Stepping method by Mikkel Morrison. Nice.
It's gonna be a new WordPress theme.
it'll be in all the trend reports this year.
I love it.
All right,
that's great.
Cool. So while there seems to be a break in the construction upstairs, I'll go ahead real quick. This last one is called Chaos. So basically, not all trends are great, and this is one of the not so good ones. I'm not saying that anyone should do this. I'm just saying I've been seeing a lot of it. Chaos is basically, you know, when you see it's a lot of gig posters are kind of doing this, and it's kind of spilling over into other elements, and it's just what the name sounds like. It's just letter forms in not a very well thought out manner. They're not placed in a way that is easy to read. There's letters here and there and here and there, images here and there. It's about as ugly as it sounds. But I've been seeing it come around lately, and hopefully this will be the year that it ends. That'd be nice. Death. I mean, I guess there might be a place for it somewhere, but it's certainly not in client-centric design that tries to kind of sell something. Because it's the hallmark of the chaos design is that it's just kind of illegible.
Yeah. I feel there's a place for it in maybe things like apparel and like kind of where messaging isn't really so important. It's more of a
feeling,
a vibe, an emotion in a way. And it'll always be there in that world. But like, God, when you have to use it to actually communicate, I haven't seen really good examples of it. It always is a little confusing to me, you know?
And I think that's the point. Like you said, I think in certain like retail in-store displays, it might be kind of cool.
It's lifestyle.
It's more lifestyle art kind of thing. But I would never, ever advocate it on a website because just knowing what I know about user experience and all that, it's just going to get in the way. And that's kind of how that's how I approach most things, just because I primarily work 99% of the time in web. So take with that and do with what you will, I guess. So
it's up to us. It's up to us, man. Yep. Gotta protest. my last one is a cool one too, and I think we're a prime example of this, that freelancers are collaborating beyond just sharing information. They're actually finding ways to integrate and work together. It turns out that not all freelancers really are working solo. What happens is many enjoy this benefit of collaborating kind of together and joining fellow freelancers on bigger projects. So when you've got something that on your own you feel is completely unattainable, what you do is you collaborate. And it might not just be with another designer. It could be an example is when a project manager and a manufacturing expert in China got together and created a toy line and did this for a big client that not one of us would be able to go to individually and be reputable. But as a team, no one questioned the fact that we all were solo entrepreneurs and we didn't even have a company name. It wasn't even looked at as different like that. And I was so happy to see that allowed us to join forces and become stronger than I think we could be, you know, individually. This gives you kind of that chance to be obviously looking at to bigger projects, things that are bigger pitches, bigger clients that are maybe on your dream list. And we see these freelancers building not what is considered an agency, but these co-ops. And I think we hear co-op is like kind of the new term. And it's basically a customized mix of putting these people together to create meaningful work for someone that they couldn't do on their own. So as we work in more shared spaces and we do things like this, look at what we do on a monthly basis. You know, it's this really interesting way of saying I could do my own thing, but as I need to, I can be as flexible, big, small as I need because we can talk and work together. So think of that as a way of you, if you need that push to get to the next level, or you're like, I'm ready for bigger and better clients. How do you partner with someone? Who do you find to say, if I bring this person on board and we collaborate, and we don't have to do anything truly like legal and become an entity, but you become this custom thing, and it really works for the client's benefit as well, because man, they're getting, every time you add a person, you're multiplying that experience.
More sets of eyes to see the project through. Yeah. Because sometimes you just don't see the stuff when you're so attached to it and are controlling the project.
And anytime you wanted to businesses want to collaborate, there is so much red tape to legally and this and who's in charge. And it just becomes another big cluster. So we are so much more nimble to be able to do this. And I've had great success with this, and I'm almost trying to do this religiously now with projects. It's a lot of juggling, but man, it's the only way I feel to take those leaps to where you want to be as a business, you know? So that's it for my little freelance.
Nice. I liked yours.
It's good to join forces and particularly to find people who kind of fill in your blind spots, I think.
Well, like the copywriters brought on, right? And everyone, like, look at that advantage. And one of the best things I did was one of the coolest people I met was an architectural firm about 4 years ago. And we're on our fifth restaurant design because of our partnership. And anytime I have a lead, I bring their team in. And when they have a lead, they bring my team in and we partner. And now there's this instant, if she has more of a conversation with the client and they say, oh, we trust you now, bring in whoever you partner with. It's a, it's almost like an instant yes for you. So really try and see, and this is a great thing to explore and play around with, you know, particularly for someone you really want to go after.
Nice. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, that's our list for this week. So next week we've got the web design trends, and we've got a listener question coming right up after we give a little love to our friends at FreshBooks. Love FreshBooks. And today I've got a little bit of a story for FreshBooks.
Do tell.
Kind of telling about one of their main features and why I like it so mm-hmm. much. So basically, one of the things I love about FreshBooks is you can see if someone's even seen your invoice yet. So I had a client call probably 2 weeks ago, and we decided we're going to do strategy sessions for his website. So we booked a time, and I sent him the invoice for that. And I've not heard back from him. Like, he hasn't really responded to the invite request, and yeah. he certainly hasn't paid his invoice. So I'm like, you know what? This is coming up on Tuesday. What's the deal? If I go in and see that he hasn't even looked at the invoice, I know I'm just going to reschedule or cancel this meeting because there's not even time for the money to come yet. So today I was able to just go in and see that he hadn't even looked at it, which mm-hmm. allowed me to just email him and said, hey, I see you haven't even, you know, looked at your invoice yet. Our meeting's on Tuesday. I'm going to have to free up some time in my schedule. So let me know if you want to pay it later, we can talk again later.
Good. So
anyway, good to be able to have that information just mm-hmm. to know that it's yeah. been seen or not.
It's ammo. Yeah.
Snooping responsibly.
Exactly. And if I wanted to go after it, I kind of didn't want to go after it with this guy because mm-hmm. he, you know, a little bit
of a hand-wringer.
Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like maybe not the best client for me. So, but if I'd wanted to go after it, I could have sent a reminder. It allows it to go through the system so it doesn't look like you were hounding your client.
You manually, through FreshBooks, send the reminder?
You can.
You can. You
I need either. To figure out how to do that.
Yeah. It's very easy, actually. But you can...
I think you just, yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah,
you can set it up automatically, or you can have it... you can do it manually anytime. Okay. Yeah. But we love it. We love FreshBooks for so many reasons. Just ease of use.
Oh, my gosh. The list is endless.
Yeah. And you can customize it to be branded with your logo, your colors. Just makes you look very professional. Like you deserve to be paid, basically. So mm-hmm. that's a good way to look.
There's a good new tagline.
Exactly.
FreshBooks. Look like you deserve to be paid. Right? It's
if
true.
You're listening, FreshBooks.
We look yeah. so good there.
And so if you have any questions, FreshBooks award-winning customer service is super helpful and friendly, no attitude. And a real life person usually answers in 3 rings or less. Or if Mikkel calls, they apparently pick up before she
the hotline
once. It's just like the bat signal. Like they know yeah. Mikkel's calling.
I had one ring for the first Mikkel's time this past week.
Oh, no. They're slacking over there, huh? Took a whole
ring.
I'm just
so impressed.
Yeah.
Whenever they send, like, requests for feedback after a call with one of their reps, I always take the time to send it.
Of course. If it's that good.
It's like, guys, you took a whole ring this time. I don't know.
What's up?
I don't know if we can talk you up on the podcast this week.
I know. I might just say, you're okay.
Yeah. No. That cannot be further from the truth. We love FreshBooks.
Exactly.
And we
get 1 month free for our listeners. You don't even need a credit card to sign up, so put it in your damn wallet. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and then enter deeply graphic in the how did you hear about us section. So once again, freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic. All right, cool. So we've got a listener question from Kevin Ortiz. And I'm going to try to get through the whole thing without any kind of song or anything going
on. It's lengthy and totally great. Yeah.
Well, I shortened it a little bit. So here we go.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
As you know, there are apps and websites available to everyone to help them design graphics, edit photos, set up websites, and arrange layouts. Do you think these platforms will progress to the point where anyone will be able to put together their own material and designer positions will become obsolete? If so, what are some ways you see designers being able to survive and thrive in that kind of world? Or am I being too anxious? I want to be able to enjoy working in a field where I know I can adapt easily when things are sure to change. Mm-hmm. It's a very valid question. And this is a fear I kind of used to have as well, because it's, you know, you see things like Wix, like, oh, put together your own site for free in minutes. Yeah, you can absolutely do that. The problem is there's going to be no strategy behind that website. It may look beautiful, and that's where it's left. So long story short, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a good point. The strategy component to the project was just a huge, it was oftentimes more than half the battle.
It's, well, I mean, I'm of the school of thought, and sorry, design. I mean, I come from a design background, but I'm starting to see more and more like the design isn't going to help your clients nearly as much as the strategy behind it will. Mm-hmm. This is might be a little different for graphic design. When we start talking about just printed materials, those are things that just have to make a business look credible for the most part. Am I wrong in saying that? Or, I mean, they still have to convey the right information.
Well, also, let's be honest, these tools are so limited in what you can actually do and design. They are not the free open canvas that a true designer can actually bring to the table. I always look at it this way. If Susie's knitting company needs to do a Facebook header, she can find an app on her phone and do it. Great. Go ahead and do it. It's like, that's not hopefully what the work we want to be doing. But if they don't know the difference that you as a human are actually customizing the image, customizing the fonts, doing some strategy and putting some thought and value into this to truly get a result, then let them do it on these freebies. That's fine. I don't think it'll ever truly be a threat to the professional world. Where it really will hit is anyone who's doing it as a hobby and trying to make money on it. Does that make, do you guys agree? Yeah. I mean, like, cannot replace the critical mind and the creative mind. And it's just as simple as that.
Yeah. And I think, we may as a design community lose out some jobs to these kinds of things. I mean, the same way we'd lose jobs out to things like Fiverr and 99 Designs.
Exactly. But they'll come running back.
Think of that client. Think of who, or maybe not. Maybe these are just clients who, they have more of an idea than a business. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any money to spend. So I think the thing to make yourself more bulletproof in this world, I think, is to elevate what you offer. Mm-hmm. And don't just offer logos. Don't just offer posters. I mean, when you're just offering the commodity, the thing, then you
it
can't
will go
really,
somewhere else.
They'll go find that cheaper. But if you can offer them more customers to make their business better through these different mediums, that's where you can shine.
Business development.
Yeah.
So
I don't want anyone to fear this.
Shift.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to fear it as a potential threat down the road, because it might be a young out of school starting it off person who thinks, wow, why would someone come to me when they can do these free things? Sooner or later, you're going to advance yourselves to the point where those things aren't even an issue anymore. If someone's comparing that to you, they won't appreciate the value you bring. So just keep, like you said, Wes, bring to the table what they need in more than just a commodity. Don't just be the poster guy. Don't just be a logo person. Think full scope. Let a few of them go to it, man. I'll never forget the first time someone was like, I'm going to go with this thing on Fiverr or whatever it was. And I was like, feel free, you know? And the stuff that when they showed me the PDF they got back, I mean, it was literally like clip art icons and I think they gave them close to like 200 options of fonts. And I'm like, okay, so they didn't even take the time to narrow it down to you as a client. Say, here's my top four.
It's
so,
like, design at McDonald's, like have it your way, you know.
Come on, no way, no way, man. Don't fear this in any way. I like that he is aware of this, and that's a truth. It came up. It's come up in every conference I've gone to in the last year, or any panel discussion I've been a part of. do not fear it. It's not true creative, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Yep.
Oh, Kevin, hopefully that's encouraging response. Extinct? What?
Kevin sent me a cool little shot of something he was working on earlier last week. I've been in touch with him, and he's got nothing to worry about. He's a true designer. He's got nothing to worry about.
Well, that makes us feel better about that answer.
Yeah.
If you sucked, you might say, don't quit your day job. But yeah. All right, cool, Kevin. Hopefully that was helpful. And keep sending in those questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And you know we love the audio ones. So just record yourself on an MP3 and email that in. Or you can ask a really short question via Twitter using the hashtag DGDC. All right, where can people find you, filthy animals, online, Mikkel?
Like it. I can be found at mkmdesignco.com and mkmdesignco on Instagram.
All right, Nick?
Oh, I'm at longodesigns.com on both web and on Instagram. And I want to give a shout out because this Monday, a fantastic buddy of mine, Joseph, at gridsandgrits.com. It's a blog about restaurant design and restaurant branding. He did the coolest thing and featured my students and their final project on their blog and all of their work and put everybody, made a whole gallery of all of their work. So if anyone wants to check it out, it's at gridsandgrits.com. And sweet. Coming this Monday, he interviewed me on his podcast about the whole project as well. And that'll be out on Monday. So thankful for people who help out my students this way. It's like a huge thing for them to have their stuff out there and such a fantastic thing that I appreciate. So wanted to give that shout out.
Love it. And you're such a podcast whore, Nick.
Bam. I know. It's this mic.
Cheating on us. You got the good mic. You got to use it, you know?
It works, baby.
All right, cool. Well, so stay tuned next time for the Web Design Trends episode. Looking forward to that one. And with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.